Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect Purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Broadcasting live from the Hyundai Studios, presented by your local Hyundai dealers. This is Chicago's number one and most listened to sports station. 670 The Score is Chicago Sports. Chicago Sports is The Score. WSCR and HD Chicago. WBMX HD2 Chicago. And Odyssey Station.
The Score!
Hit and Run Sundays from 9 a.m. till noon.
Had a chance to take the lead here in the 10th. Abreu hammers this ball into right center field, and this will give the White Sox the lead. Extra bases for Jose. 2-1 in the 10th. Still nobody out. Up the middle, that's into center field for Luis Robert. Here comes Abreu. Hernandez's throw is late. Robert into second base. 3-1 White Sox. Still nobody out. On 1-2. On the ground at shortstop. Tim's got it. His throw is 5 in a row for the White Sox. What a comeback for this team. Shut out through 8. 3 runs in the final, 2 trips to the bat rack, and this is exactly the team that we thought we were going to see rattling off win after win behind that effusive closer.
The runners take their leads, the set, there they go, the pitch. A swing and a smash, fair, inside third, down the left field line. This could clear the bases. One run is in, 2 runs are in. Here comes the third run to the plate, scoring on a 3-run double by Mookie Betts. And the Dodgers lead 4-1. Fly ball right center. Shallow right, actually. Racing in, Betts still coming. Makes the catch. And the Dodgers win game one by a score of 7-0. The 1-2. Drilled in the air, trouble deep left. This is going to be a long home run. Mookie Betts, a 2-run homer, and the Dodgers now lead by a score of 6-2. Stretched by Kimbrel in the pitch. Hayward hits one in the air, right center field and deep. Back goes Bellinger near the warning track. On the track, makes the catch. And the ball game is over. Bellinger able to make the catch after a long run. Jason Hayward is retired, and so are the Cubs. As the Dodgers have won the ball game by a score of 6-2.
Welcome in to Hit and Run on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. I am Mark Grody in for Matt Spiegel today on this Mother's Day, and happy Mother's Day to you. There will be plenty Mother's Day theme on today's show. But if I was a White Sox fan right now, I would be feeling so much better right now than I did about, say, like the fifth or sixth game of that eight-game losing streak, where I think Sox fans and even analysts were saying to themselves, wait a minute, is this just a bad little streak here in the season? They've lost eight in a row. Or is this really what this team is? Not very good and pretty sloppy and all of that. Sox fans should be feeling a lot better today, because while their five straight games have not occurred against great teams, the Cubs and the Red Sox, and Boston is not a particularly good team, these are still good wins. These are road victories for the White Sox, playing better baseball, imperfect for sure.
No doubt about that.
Sox left a lot of men on base yesterday, but it's getting better, and we will talk a lot about that in the White Sox and things that they are doing better and things that still need to be tightened up for the White Sox, like the guy who is pitching today. Big day for Dallas Keuchel, and the White Sox have a obnoxious 10:35 start this morning on the Peacock Network. You could also watch it on NBC5, so I don't think you have to worry about finagling to get the Peacock Network.
They're on Peacock today. I didn't know that.
Yeah. Seriously, you didn't know that? For real, real?
I knew they were on NBC today. I didn't know it was also on Peacock. That's so weird to me.
Yeah. No, the Sox, well, they were on Apple TV Plus on Friday as well, Sean.
Right. So, I did know that. Now, is Benetti calling the game on NBC, or is it someone else?
He is.
That's so weird.
But it is considered a national broadcast. So it's actually Jason Benetti, Steve Stone, and you ready for this? 3, 2, 1. Kevin Youkilis will be doing the analyzing.
That's cool, though, I guess, because he's obviously, they're playing the Red Sox. So.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no, you can get it. I don't know if he does broadcasting regularly, but, yeah, it's been an interesting weekend for White Sox fans. Yesterday was the easiest day. It was just on plain old NBC Sports Chicago, come on home. The White Sox are right here, but today gets a little bit tricky, and I don't think, like I said, the game is on NBC5. I think the idea of it is, it is Peacock. So probably, hey, this, you get your freebie here, but going forward, unless you have Xfinity, which I do, I don't know that you get Peacock for free. So, yeah, the White Sox at Boston, 10:35 this morning on Peacock or NBC5. It is a Dallas Keuchel, Micah Wacha pitching matchup. So we're going to try to cram in a bunch of White Sox before their game starts, including a couple of things. At 9:40, we will have White Sox beat writer for CHGO Sports, Vinny Duber, will join us. He'll be on at 9:40. We'll talk about the White Sox five-game winning streak and what it has meant and dig into the minutiae of the game. Also, White Sox-wise, at the top of the hour, I've been told that on Inside the Clubhouse yesterday that Bruce Levine and David Haugh had a great interview with Lucas Giolito, which, unfortunately, shame on me, I have not heard yet. But for me, it will be brand new, and hopefully for a lot of you guys, it will be brand new as well. So Lucas Giolito on the Score at 10 o'clock. We'll dig more into the Cubs and at 10:40 with Cubs reporter Tony Andracki of the Marquee Sports Network. And then at 11 a.m. this morning, and this was a good idea by Sean Sears, because we kind of had anticipated that this might be a rough weekend for the Chicago Cubs which it has been swept in a doubleheader yesterday. So, you know, maybe it's time to start looking at it, taking a closer look at some of the Cubs' prospects and dig into what could be next. What is the next wave of players for the Chicago Cubs? And to do that, we will rely on the expertise of Kyle Glazer of Baseball America. And one of his areas of focus is to talk about Major League Baseball's top prospects. We will focus on the Cubs. And I know he wrote like a great piece on Pete Crow Armstrong.
PCA, baby.
Oh, so is that what we're calling him?
That's what we're calling him, Mark.
See, this is, I have only begun my studies on the prospects. Of course, I know the names. We hear the names, but
sure.
Oh, I got you. So we're going PCA.
We gotta shift like, gears a little bit. I know, like, we haven't done like prospect watch probably since like 2014, maybe, right?
I know. I've kind of been resisting it too, because right. It does suggest that your team is bad, and that's your only hope is the wave of players. But PCA.
Oh yeah. We're gonna have to. I'll have to make a what's that thing from Anchorman where he's like Panda Watch and the you know, the air is thick. We tried to get an interview with him. They said no. You literally ripped his arms off or whatever. We'll have to get. I'll mix that in with PCA. We'll make it work.
Okay. And I, you know what cut I need to hear from Anchorman at some point in time during the show today, Sean Sears. Sean Sears, our executive
producer. Ready. Don't worry. We'll work it in.
Just anytime you feel like it, wherever it feels comfortable. And definitely, I was going to say don't force it, but definitely if the time doesn't feel right, you're going to need to force it at some point in time. But yeah, Pete Crow Armstrong, the Cubs 20-year-old center fielder prospect playing for Myrtle Beach, the Low A Carolina League. So we will dig into all things PCA with Kyle Glazer and all the guy. You know what I want to focus on? And I always have a sheet with me that I have not thrown away since last year at the trade deadline. And that is all the big Cubs heavies that were traded at the deadline and the prospects that they received for them. And I always have those guys in mind. So we will ask about the haul that the Cubs got for all of the Javier Baez trade, the Anthony Rizzo trade, the Chris Bryant trade to San Francisco, and maybe even, you know, some of the smaller deals to see if any of those guys are starting to pop. Of course, we will talk about Brennan Davis, Ed Howard.
Our guy Bryce Ball, who we could remember a couple weeks ago.
That's right, and you just did. Is Bryce Ball still in the organization?
He is.
The lefty first baseman?
He's hit, I think he's hit four home runs to start the year so far.
Oh, my God. Okay, so we have lots. Do we call him BB? Is he BB? Hey, yo, what's up, Double B?
I haven't come up with a nickname yet for him, but we'll work it out. Double B's solid.
Double B is watching the PCA right now. PCA to the Double BB. I love it. Yeah, so Bryce Ball, who I remember when he came to the Cubs, and the thought was, oh, he's the next Anthony Rizzo because he's big and he's lefty and he hits home runs. And then he was in South Bend and really not doing anything. But according to Sean Sears, he has been doing stuff. So maybe if we have time, sounds like we're going to run out of time eventually with Kyle Glazer, but we will ask him about Bryce Ball as well. You are certainly welcome to join the show here on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. It is Hit and Run. Mark Rohde in for Matt Spiegel. Always love interacting with you guys at 312-644-6767. That is the number to call or to text for sure. I know that traditionally on Hit and Run, like through the years and all the different manifestations of the show, that Mother's Day and Father's Day, but today is strictly Mother's Day, that if you want to talk about your mother's memories as it pertains to sports, that is certainly open game. I love hearing your Mother's Day stories at 312-644-6767 to call or to text. Two stand out for me, and they are both directly related to when I was doing pre and post game on the Cubs. I did pre and post from 2015 through 2017, and it could have been any year, but I'm just going to say it was 2016. My mom I remember her saying, because as parents will do, you know, because I was doing pre and post for the Cubs. I mean, they're already Cubs fans and they're actually pretty good sports fans. So they probably would have been paying attention to the Cubs anyway, but in particular because I was, you know, sort of part of that whole thing. And my mom one day said, you know, I really like that Joe Madden. He's just like such a nice guy, and he's just so positive, and I just like the way he talks. I think what my mom was trying to say is that she likes the vibes of Joe Madden. And you can say whatever you want about Joe Madden as a manager, but there were Matt Spiegel-esque vibes always coming from him. He was vibrating on a different frequency all the time, was Joe Madden. Talked to anybody, nice to anybody, always had a specific conversation for everybody. So I took that to Joe. I got onto a team bus one day. I don't remember where we were. It's easy to forget. Get onto the team bus, and Joe was just sitting there about fourth row or so, maybe first or second, actually. And I said, hey, Joe, I just got to tell you, I was talking to my mom, and she is a huge Joe Madden fan. And she was very specific and very pointed about it. And Joe just looks up at me and goes, moms are cool, man. I'm like, yeah, that's right. Moms are cool. And I've always taken that away. That's the truth. It is very, very simple and very basic, but it is very powerful. Moms are cool. So let us make that the theme of the show today. Moms are cool. 312-644-6767. The other Mother's Day memory I have also occurred in 2016. And this was a good and bad one, because it was on 2016. It was May 5th. Excuse me. It was, yeah, May 8th, 2016. Cubs and Nationals, Mother's Day. You might remember this game. It was a 13-inning game that ended in Javier Baez's blast to the left field bleachers to win the game on Mother's Day. With all the pink bat, and everybody bouncing around the room at the end of the game. And it was terrific, and it was a blast, and what an honor to do it on Mother's Day and breast cancer awareness and all of that. But the bummer on that day was that since the game went 13 innings and I had a long post game ahead of me, I missed Mother's Day that day. Not that I wasn't willing to go, but my mom is very practical, and I probably had to get up early the next day. And she said, well, you know, I would prefer that, you know, you stay home, and I'll see you another time, because I don't want to have to worry about you getting back and all that kind of stuff. But yeah, so the Cubs kind of ruined my Mother's Day on that day, although it was a triumphant victory. You remember that day, right? 5-8-16, 13 innings, Javier Baez, the game-winning home run. And on that day, the Cubs improved to, oh my, have things changed, to 24-6. That was the runaway start of 2016, when the lineup was Dexter Fowler, Jason Hayward, Chris Bryant, Anthony Rizzo, Ben Zobrist, Jorge Soler, David Ross, Addison Russell, Tim Fedorovich. Oh my God, have I forgotten my pronunciation key? Not here anymore. Feta, not here anymore. Tommy La Stella, Adam Warren pitched that day. Jason Hamill was a pinch hitter for some reason that day. Justin Grimm pitched. Travis Wood pitched. Jake Arrieta pitched. Who else pitched? Ryan Kalish pitched. Trevor Cahill pitched. And Javier Baez, by the way, was a pinch hitter in that game and ended up playing third base. So he got in before he hit the home run. But that was the rough draft sketch of that day. And then we turn now to the Chicago Cubs of today. And yesterday, the Cubs swept in a doubleheader. They lose to the Dodgers 7-0 in the first game. They fall to the Dodgers 6-2 in game two. And there are plenty of things to talk about from both of those games, but I'm having trouble like building up genuine anger about this Cubs team and this roster. Maybe as a whole and the way the Cubs are going about it, I can be critical, but when you look, this is what a lot of us predicted the Cubs would be, 9-17, 9 games back at this point. I think that they'll probably tighten things up and get closer to 500 before this thing is all said and done. Unfortunately, there's just really nothing surprising about what is going on with the Chicago Cubs. I mean, I've been a little bit surprised with the start of Marcus Stroman, although he had a nice start his last time around. I've been a little surprised with Kyle Hendricks getting bumpy right out of the gates, but he always has a slump during the season. Maybe he's getting it out of the way early, but there is simply not a lot of surprise to the Cubs being 9-17 right now. And I will give the Cubs credit in this. Here's what the Cubs should be credited for, that it seemed like the obsessive goal for this season, what the Cubs wanted to accomplish more than anything, more than winning, more than signing big-time players, more than putting a rotation together, more than having a closer, what they wanted to do, what the Cubs have been obsessed with, is changing their approach at the plate and making contact. They have done that. The Cubs have been a contact team, so good for them. The problem has been that the contact has not been productive. And just to symbolic of that is that the Cubs have hit into more double plays than any other team in Major League Baseball this year. So they've got step one down, but they got a long way to go before it's the right kind of contact. And I guess it's baby steps. And this is that was like, if you really want to look at what their actual goal was for this season, it was 100% to make contact with the bats. Everything else seemed a distant second and third if you look at what they wanted to do. I mean, they're really not developing many players at this point. You could say Nico Hoerner, who is a thumbs up to me. I've talked about Nico Hoerner a lot on the overnight show. I've been impressed with Nico Hoerner this year with his defense and with his offense. But this year is a placement holder year. It is a year to change the approach at the plate, to change the organizational philosophy, so that is not necessarily going to equal entertaining baseball all of the time. But we're going to get a lot more into it. I see you guys lining up here, and we're going to have time to get to some of your calls here. Paul and Rich and Chris and Springfield. We're going to take a quick break right now. Come back. We will take your calls, continue to talk about the Cubs and Sox. And at 9:40, we'll get serious with White Sox beat writer for CHGO Sports, Vinny Duber. I'm Mark Grody, filling in for Matt Spiegel here on Hit and Run on Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score.
The premier baseball show in Chicago, Hit and Run with Matt Spiegel.
Strumming my pain with his fingers, singing my life with his words, killing me softly with his song, killing me softly.
Nice.
Telling my whole life.
Roberta Flack, killing me softly. My mom's music right there. Yeah. The old school version. Yeah. That's where it all started, kids. Welcome back into Hit and Run on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. I'm Mark Grody in for Matt Spiegel today. The Cubs swept in a doubleheader yesterday, lose to the Dodgers 7-0 in the first game. They fall to LA by 4 runs in game two. Cubs Dodgers tonight, Sunday Night Baseball, right here on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Marcus Stroman against one Walker Buehler. Very entertaining White Sox game yesterday, and that was a 3-1 win over the Red Sox in 10 innings, where Jose Abreu and Luis Robert had the money RBI hits in the 10th inning with the automatic runner on base. Big-time sac fly RBI for Leury Garcia, a ball that I thought was going to get down and do even more damage, but Leury did the job for sure. That's Tony's guy. The White Sox win. They have won 5 in a row. They are back to the magical number of 500 at 13-13. They are 3 back in the division. White Sox win an early game today, 10:35 on the Peacock Network and NBC5. Dallas Keuchel will be working against Michael Walker. 312-644-6767 is the number. Got Vinny Duber coming up in about 15 minutes to talk more about the White Sox. He from CHGO Sports. We go to the phone lines now, and we start with Paul in Valparaiso. Hello, Paul. You're on the Score.
Hey, Mark. Good morning, and happy Mother's Day to all the mothers out there. You kind of open it up with the show in regards to the Sox. I mean, talking about expectations, I mean, expectations are through the roof with this team, and I kind of see last year kind of creeping back in. I mean, I'm sure every time Steve Stone gets a chance to get on, he'll say, relax, it's early. They play the schedule they have to play. Don't worry if they beat good teams. But you see what happens in October when you have to face good right-handed pitching. Sox aren't better defensively, probably worse defensively than they were. They continue to beat bad teams, but when they go up against good teams, they struggle. So I understand injuries, but a lot of teams have injuries. And if the expectations are so high, I don't think we should be, doing backflips because they beat the Cubs and the Red Sox in games like that. So, I think we're going to get in that same trap. I don't think this team has developed as much as they should have. They're still too right-handed batting-wise, even Moncada's on the DL, but I think it's something they're going to run into when they face good right-handed pitching. They struggle, and that's going to have they're going to face in the playoffs. I'll let you get into Rich from Old Town. I know next he'll tell us all about Whip, and he's been on that streak for 5 weeks. So get to Rich. I know he's got a lot of stats for us. Thanks, Mark.
All right, Paul. Does Paul, did he get the password for our call screener? What
That's
in the
wild.
World? We'll get to Rich in a second. Oh, this has overnight vibes. I should have put Paul and Rich on together.
Say, should we get him up there? Like, hey, guess what, Paul? We've got Rich right here.
What am I thinking? My God, I do want to respond to what Paul said though, and I swear to God, Rich is on hold.
Yeah. That's crazy. How's that happened twice on two shifts we work now?
I have no idea. Sean Sears and I perform Score overnights at least three times a week, and the things that go down in those 5 hours are just deluxe. And if I can bring that to a Sunday morning on Mother's Day and make mothers smile, then I am so down for that. But it's a good point, actually, that Paul made, because one of the bugaboos for the White Sox last year was that they did struggle against winning teams, and it was a big bone of contention towards the end of the year. We were all debating it. Does it mean anything? Does it mean anything? I was definitely team it means something, because, yeah, you're going to play good teams in the postseason, so that can be an indicator of how well you might do in the postseason. And the White Sox got blown up by the Astros in the postseason. The Sox played poorly, and Houston kicked their butts, quite frankly. So it seemed that there was something to that. So it will be comforting if the White Sox can beat good teams this year. I'm not taking anything away from what they've done in the last five games. So they needed to get there. It didn't matter who the White Sox were playing previous to that, good teams or bad teams. Sox were just playing poorly. They're not playing perfectly now, but they're playing much better. So I don't care who the opponent is right now. If you want to look ahead on the schedule, after the White Sox play Boston this morning, they will be home to play Cleveland for three games. So that's a boost in competition. And then definitely the competition goes higher, because also on that homestand, the White Sox will get to see the Yankees. It's a four-game series against the Yankees. So it's going to get hyper on the South side when the Yankees come to town. That will be the proverbial fun early season series, and if they lose, people would say, well, it's early, and if they win, they'll say, finally, the Sox are playing better. I am of the school of every game is important. We take, as sports fans and sports talk radio hosts, we take every game seriously and talk about every game seriously, so I never understand the concept of downplaying games or anything that happens early in the season, because it's early in the season. Don't play the games then. Let's not even talk about baseball, right, until Labor Day. If that's the way we're going to treat baseball, that everything's early and nothing matters right now, let's just talk about the Bears until the Labor Day Bears. Or the middle of June. Yeah, we'll just talk Bears. We'll talk out of town playoffs, NBA. So yeah, it is important. It's important to me. I think it's important to a lot of fans. And I understand that sometimes we need to tell ourselves, well, it's early, so don't worry about it. But many a team have taken themselves out of contention early in Major League Baseball through the years. So if some people don't want to take early season baseball seriously, that's fine. But I do. And we'll talk about it until noon here on Hit and Run on the Score. Without further ado, we definitely have to get to Rich in Old Town. Rich, you're wanted on the airwaves right now. What's going on, man?
Hey, I want to set the record straight, and Sean knows this. I want to come off as a stat geek. It all started with sports betting 30 years ago. So I'm a data guy because the numbers don't lie. And I use the trend and the data simply for that. But on top of that, to alert some of the Chicago fans, I'm a resident for the past 20-something years, but I'm not from here. But here's something that isn't talked about a lot, and I think the attention that La Russa and Ross are getting and the negative about how they're managing is a little silly. I think to build a franchise, you have to have consistency, continuity, and you got to build something like pick a team. The Bulls run, New England run. And I think it's built around ownership, not management. It's built around ownership. And let me give you the reason why. Of course, I've got to do that. I've got to come in with a stat sheet. Right?
Yeah, I know. Paul's not going to be real happy about this, Rich, but go ahead.
Okay, but I'll tell you something that's revealing. I looked at the team wins for the last decade in the MLB and the teams that are consistent. I looked at three things: the number of wins, the win percentage, and how many times in that decade period they made the playoffs. Well, the obvious ones, and people are going to say, well, they spend all the money, but number one are the Dodgers with a 58% winning percentage over 10 years. They've made the playoffs 9. Yankees, 57%, 9. And then the Cardinals are third, believe it or not, and the Rays. So it isn't buying the team, or you wouldn't see the Cardinals and Rays in there at 3 and 4 for the past decade. Number five is the Red Sox, which is good. I had to plug them because they're my team. But then I took a look at the Cubs and the White Sox. This is the greatest bar bet you'll win in your life, even with the big Cub run from the World Series on. What do you think their record is in the last 10 years?
Whose record?
The Cubs. I'll give you the Cubs and White Sox.
I have no idea. Just lay it on me. Lay it on me.
They're under 500. They're 49-9, and they've been in the playoffs 5 times. The White Sox, the illustrious White Sox, are in 25th place with a 47-3. They're both under 500 for a decade, and they have 2 playoff appearances. So I think that's revealing on the ownership. I mean, what are they doing to build a franchise? I think you got to take a hard look at Ricketts and Reinsdorf.
I think what you have to look at, and Rich, thanks for the call. We're going to send you Paul from Valparaiso's information. I think that what you have to look at, too, and it makes sense, actually, Rich, what you're saying, that, yeah, there's culpability for the owners for sure, because ultimately they are the ones that allow the resources to flow or not to flow in any given year. And we know that the resources have not exactly flowed for the Cubs. And symbolic of that last year was trading Yu Darvish. And then, you know, the trade deadline where everybody went, but that was a different story for different reasons. So what these owners have not been able to accomplish in this town is a sustained success, or one that flows. Maybe there's a year off, but there's a decade of sustained success, sort of like what the Atlanta Braves did, what Boston has done to a large degree. And the Cubs had it going on. They did. I mean, 15, 16, 17, 18, and it sort of pulled up short, I think, of what they were trying to accomplish. Like, they didn't expect to have to go back down to ground zero, or not ground zero. Maybe they're at like a 3 right now, because the Cubs are not where they were in 2012. I mean, this is not that bad. It's different, and the plan seems more attainable to boost in the next couple of years, as opposed to being the arduous process that it was leading up to 2015. But yeah, I mean, Cubs won a World Series. They got a World Series out of that. So that helped a lot to quell some of the sort of panic and fears of Cubs fans. But on both sides of town, what they have not been able to accomplish is like a true and real legitimate sustains success. And yeah, some of that does fall on the owners. There's no doubt about it. 312-644-6767. We'll get back to some more of your calls on the Cubs and the White Sox. But coming up next, let's go to the White Sox and talk to Vinny Duber of CHGO. The Cubs are make that the White Sox and Red Sox with a 10:35 game from Fenway Park. We'll talk to Vinny next on Hit and Run on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Hit and Run with Matt Spiegel, Sunday mornings on The Score.
Had a chance to take the lead here in the 10th. Abreu hammers this ball into right center field, and this will give the White Sox the lead. Extra bases for Jose. 2-1 in the 10th. Still nobody out.
Eloy, how impressed were you with what Luis Robert?
Wow, what a mustache, man.
It had been a while. It had been a while since you said that. Yeah. I was happy to hear it.
Jesus Christ.
Thank you. Appreciate that. I think that brightens everybody's day on here when you do that, so that's good.
Welcome back in on Hit and Run. I'm Mark Rohde in for Matt Spiegel today on Chicago Sports Radio 670. The Score. White Sox have won 5 in a row. They beat the Red Sox yesterday 3-1. The final score in 10. Jose Abreu and Luis Robert. Also, Lurie Garcia with key RBIs in that game. More good pitching from Dylan Cease, and the Sox are getting things together again. A lineup is in because we have the extraordinary and rare 10:35 start for the White Sox in Boston today. Lurie Garcia, who, like I said, had a key sack fly yesterday, leading off and playing right field. Luis Robert batting second and playing center. Jose Abreu, the DH, and batting third. Yasmani Grandal is playing first base and is the cleanup hitter. So, yeah, is over at first. Gavin Sheets out in left field batting fifth. Jake Berger at third. Reese McGuire getting the catching assignment for this game for Tony La Russa, batting seventh and catching. Josh Harrison, the number 8 hitter and playing second base. And Danny Mendick is the number 9 hitter and shortstop. Dallas Keuchel is the starting pitcher for the Chicago White Sox. Let's keep the White Sox talk hot as we bring in White Sox beat writer for CHGO Sports. He is Vinny Duber, and he joins us on The Score right now. What's going on, Vinny? How are you, man?
I'm well, Mark. How are you doing this morning?
I'm doing well. Yeah, we're just talking about this weird start time for the White Sox and looking through the lineup. As far as you know, is this just a day off for Tim Anderson, just a rest day for him?
Yeah, that's what it seems to be. You know, the guys on the ground at Fenway Park have been tweeting that it's just a day off for Tim Anderson, which makes sense after that off day that followed the Cubs series. Long stretch of games for the White Sox here, and obviously Tony La Russa is always looking to keep everybody as fresh as possible. We saw what happened, in the second half of last year, particularly with Tim Anderson, when, playing every day really caught up to him and knocked him out for a little bit with some of the leg stuff that he was dealing with. So, that's always on the top of the manager's mind, and that's the explanation today.
Yeah, it makes sense. The White Sox have, we've been talking about their 5-game winning streak and a dramatic win yesterday over the Red Sox, 3-1 in 10 innings. What have they done better over the last 5 games that they've been able to put together this streak?
I think it's just even though the moments have been rare, it's the moments of just stringing a couple hits together. That's really all it takes. And we didn't see it at all during that, miserable losing stretch when they lost 8 in a row, 11-13. And then a week ago today in that 9th inning against the Angels, they lost. But they scored 5 runs in the 9th inning, and it was, going station to station, getting a walk, taking a good at-bat after another good at-bat, and picking up a couple of hits when they needed them. And really, there's that old baseball adage of pitching, defense, and timely hitting. There's a reason it's timely hitting and not just hitting in general, because that's really all it takes when the other two elements are clicking for you. And that's really what we've seen from the White Sox. We haven't seen them pour on the runs, but we have seen them come through when it matters, clean up the defensive issues that they had during that ugly stretch. And the pitching has really, for the most part, been pretty good all year.
Yeah, and yeah, we're going to get to Dylan Cease here in a second. But yeah, I mean, that game, I mean, the Sox have been stranding guys left and right in that game yesterday, mostly A.J. Pollock doing that. But they got the hits when they needed them, and then it had seemed like hours that we had seen Dylan Cease pitch. So let me bring it to him. Dylan Cease yesterday, 5 innings, 1 run, 4 hits, 8 strikeouts, 3 walks. They let him go 101 pitches. And right now, Vinny Duber, his ERA reads 2.38. What have you thought about his season? And is it, I mean, I think the key question for Dylan Cease, is it sustainable? Can he continue on this track this season? Could this be the year?
Well, he's been excellent. And I think that we saw, again, for the most part, a sustainable Dylan Cease a year ago. It's just, I think the question this year is not, can you do it over the course of a full season? It's what is the next level? Because I think that next year we saw a breakout year from him, or last year rather, we saw a breakout year from him. And, you know, I showed up at spring training this year and talking to Ethan Katz about it. And he's like, yeah, it was a good year. You know, yeah, it was fine, but we expect more kind of thing. And it's like, wow. I mean, this guy led the team in strikeouts. You had the best rotation in the American League in the regular season. That would seem to be, you know, that you've got your guy where you want him. But they've been talking him up for so long, for years. We've heard how good the stuff is. But when you go and you know, Tony says this all the time, it's not about, you know, it's not about throwing, it's about pitching. When you take a guy who can throw and you teach him how to pitch, then you got a guy who can take it to the next level. And after taking a huge step from, you know, what was a pretty bad 2020 season for him to a very good 2021 season, they think he can take another huge step to have a great 2022 season, and certainly he's off to a very good start in that department.
Yeah, and it is. It is all about the stuff, and that's why I set the bar high for him too, because like on a rotation with a lot of guys who have some really good stuff, it is Dylan Cease who just about every time he pitches, it is, you know, uttered how great his stuff is. So that sets the bar pretty high, and that's why I asked the question, like, can he, I don't know if he's going to be able to keep 2.38 as an ERA for the rest of the season, because then you're talking about competing for Cy Young. But it's like I wanted the stuff to actually equal what he does in the game, and it seems like that's starting to happen now, right, Vinny?
Absolutely, yeah. And I mean, I know that like these early numbers look good, and you're like, oh well, you know, it's April, May, you know, you give him another half a run on the ERA for over the course of the year because you think that water's going to find its level, so to speak. But I don't think that it's unrealistic to assume that he could keep this up for the whole year, just because that's the way the White Sox have been talking about him, as a guy who can blossom into this kind of pitcher. And, you know, you throw how good Lucas Giolito has been in there, you throw how good, you know, in his own way, Michael Kopech has been through the first bit of the year. And, you know, when Lucas went down with that injury on opening day, and you already had, you know, 2 months of being without Lance Lynn on the schedule for you, you were like, oh man, this rotation could fall apart in a hurry. And really, it hasn't. And it's mostly because of those three guys. Obviously, we've seen a couple good outings from Vince Velasquez too. But that Giolito, Cease, Kopech, you know, trio at the top for the moment has really helped the White Sox kind of stay afloat in the starting pitching department.
That's the voice of the White Sox beat writer for CHGO Sports, Vinny Duber. I'm Mark Grody on Hit and Run, in for Matt Spiegel here on The Score. One of the guys that has not made a heavy contribution to the White Sox starting staff is the guy that is going today, Dallas Keuchel, on the mound for the White Sox against Michael Wacha for the Red Sox. What do you make of Keuchel, and is his days shortened here with the White Sox because of the way he's pitched, and if he doesn't get things, his act together?
Yeah, I mean, it's a really interesting question, and I think, you know, you can listen to what Dallas has to say. I asked him, you know, after his previous start against the Angels, where, you know, things once again did not go very well, and he said, you know, I asked him, what is different about this year right now than last year? Like, is this the same thing that's happening, because we're seeing the same results? Last year, he told us, you know, that he was dealing with a bit of an injury. He had a real string of, you know, some bad luck, but obviously was not pitching well either. He had a career high in home runs, career high in walks. It's not what you want to see from a guy who's supposed to be getting you a lot of ground balls and a lot of quick innings. But all offseason, they were confident that, he could bounce back. He was very confident, very motivated that he could bounce back. And it wasn't crazy to hear, because this is a guy who's extraordinarily accomplished in his career. A Cy Young on his resume, a World Series ring on his resume. I certainly thought it was possible, you know, that he could go back to the guy he was just 2 years ago in his first year with the White Sox. But the results have looked like they did last year. He doesn't think it's the same problems. He thinks that, you know, he's very close to kind of figuring this out, that he feels good, that he has confidence in his pitches. You know, he's not kind of maybe searching or trying to overcorrect, so to speak, like he was a year ago. But this is a results-oriented business, isn't it? And, you know, I think the White Sox have been talking about a guy who they just signed to a minor league deal in Johnny Cueto, like he's going to be here. Like, he is coming. You know, I mean, initially he was thought of as just a depth piece, but Tony La Russa keeps talking about him as, like, sooner rather than later, he's going to be in that starting rotation, and they're going to give him a shot. So someone's got to come out. Now, Vince Velasquez, obviously, before all the injuries, before even the injury to Lance Lynn, was pegged as a guy who could be that swingman, right, and pitch out of the bullpen. So maybe it's easier to just transition him to a bullpen role, take another few weeks of data with Dallas and with Johnny Cueto before Lance Lynn comes back from injury, and then make your tough decision then. But, you know, it's also the thing, you know, these games in May count just as much as the games in September. And if you're trying to win a division, if you're trying to win a World Series, how long can you go if one guy keeps giving you those same bad results over and over again, no matter how much confidence you might have in him? So it's going to be interesting to see what happens, not just over the next few weeks, but today. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
To see what sort of recency bias Dallas Keuchel can give the White Sox when it comes to making those decisions. So we're going to see what happens. And but you're right. It has gone from the sort of question that is, well, Dallas Keuchel is Dallas Keuchel. Look at the resume. They would, you know, they've got to be able to give him the long leash and count on him to do something that looks like what he's done in the past, to, man, maybe that next start is a lot more important than we think it might be.
Yep, the big game for Dallas Keuchel today for sure. Last question for you, Vinny Duber, and that is, the right now Minnesota 17-11, White Sox 3 back at 500. Do you think the White Sox are still the best team in this division?
I do, especially when healthy. Obviously, when healthy has not happened for these White Sox yet. And, you know, they're missing one of the guy who finished third in the Cy Young vote last year. They're missing now Andrew Vaughn, a guy who was, you know, one of their hottest hitters throughout much of last year and this year as well. They're just getting some guys back. You know, Yoan Moncada will be back from the injured list tomorrow, and that'll be a big boost for this lineup. Joe Kelly should be coming back soon from his rehab assignment. It'll be a big boost for the bullpen. So they're getting guys back, and certainly, you know, when healthy comes with a pretty huge asterisk for the White Sox at the moment. But I think by the time you get to the end of the season, or even just the second half of the season, you're going to see a White Sox team that was, you know, drawn up to be this White Sox team. And yeah, I think that they're probably still the class of the division. Give the Twins credit. They bulked up in the offseason. They went out and got Carlos Correa, infused themselves with some big-time talent, and their pitching has, in my opinion, drastically overperformed from what I think everybody thought was going to be the case. If they can keep that going, they're going to give the White Sox fits all summer long. But certainly, I think if you still look at the whole on-paper situation that they've got going there, the White Sox have the advantage.
Vinny, thank you for the time. I really appreciate it, man.
Hey, you got it.
All right, that is Vinny Duber of CHGO Sports. It was a good day for the bullpen for the White Sox yesterday. Cease had an excellent start. Bennett Souza, Jose Ruiz, Reynaldo Lopez, and then Liam Hendricks. He's got it back on. Thank God. You don't want the White Sox to do what the Red Sox have been doing these days, and that is blowing saves. And even, I think Lopez is the only bullpenner of the White Sox to give up even a hit yesterday. And I'll give Lopez a lot of credit, man, because although he did allow in the Red Sox ninth, big time spot, allows runners second and third, one out, and then he gets Bobby Dalbec looking, and he overmatched Dalbec. And then he gets Trevor Story to pop out to second base and keep the score at 1-1. So some good stuff. I really like that they found a spot for Reynaldo Lopez, because he's another stuff guy. He's another guy that could go out there, if starting, could go out there and strike out 12, 13 guys. And we actually saw that when he was a starter for the White Sox, but it became incredibly uneven as a starter. It was no longer tenable for Reynaldo Lopez to be a starter, but then all of a sudden, he's back last year, and he's in the bullpen, and he has been thriving in that position ever since. But all bets are off if Dallas, like, if Keuchel's bad today, then the Sox might have to make a decision. And who knows? I mean, Reynaldo Lopez could be a part of that. Could they stretch him out a little bit? Or do you just keep him in the position in which he has been succeeding, which seems to make sense as well. This is Hit and Run. I'm Mark Grody in for Spiegs today. Hope everybody is having a happy Mother's Day. Hello to all the mothers out there. Hello to Jean Grody, who's probably in church right now. I'm going to see Jean Grody later on today after I finish with Hit and Run at noon today. And coming up next, Lucas Giolito was on The Score yesterday, and I am hungry to hear what he has to say because he's pitching well and he's got a great personality and always has fun things to say on the radio, in particular here on The Score. I'm Mark Grody, Hit and Run, Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score.
Oh, such a clutch offseason pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norse sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!